I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're going to be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine.
And Carolyn.
Today, we're going to be talking about confidence and all the different parts that make it up, how you can reinstate your confidence or build your confidence or become more aware of your confidence, because I think it's a huge topic and low-key a life-changing thing when you get a good grasp on it. So we're going to get into all of that today. And of course, I am wearing merch again today. I think last week or the week before was like neither of us were wearing merch, and it was a whole thing. But I always, I love having my own merch because I can truly wear it every day. And like, I know I love it because I designed it, and I can wear it every day and no one can say shit because
you're confident in it.
Because at the end of the day, like, it's marketing wearing it every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you
can't, a little bit.
You can't tell me that I can't wear the exact same outfit every day because
it's your own.
It's my own.
It's your creation. Mm. I'm excited to talk about confidence, honestly, because I think it's a word that, you know, it kind of just gets used and thrown around, but, like, I don't think it's as simple as just, like, confidence. I think it is a bit more layered.
Yeah, I don't think, we'll get into it, but I don't think confidence is its own thing. I think it's a manifestation, a result of all the things that we're going to talk about today. So, I was just about to give, like, a whole spoiler
about the entire episode. We're not going to do that,
though. No spoilers.
We're going to do highs, lows, and goals.
Highs, lows, and goals, how we start every episode. My high of the week is that, like we said in our last episode, one of our friends is visiting from New York, and so we haven't seen him in a while, and it's always a good time. We were just talking about this on, we went for a walk, and we're like, I love hanging out with those people because mm-hmm. It's like, it's always jokes, but also like very supportive underlying.
Yeah.
Tone. So like everyone is very supportive and open, but it's also like fully jokes the entire time, yeah. And it's so fun. So we went to dinner, like, very, very casual on, like, a Tuesday night, and
yeah,
had so much fun.
It was nice, though. It's interesting, because so many people at our school are, like, doing internships or in different places at different times, so it's just, like, so strange how you never have the same consistent group
throughout the whole time. It is super weird,
yeah. So a couple of our friends are away. One of our good friends, one who we went to Costa Rica with last summer that we've spoken about a lot, was here visiting for the week, and all we managed to do was like one quick dinner, but it was such a fun time. That was definitely a high of the week.
For sure. And then I went to a dinner party. One of our friends was hosting a dinner party last night, and so I went, and it was, I'd never met anyone that was there before, and I had a great time. It was very calm. Like, she's Lebanese, so she made Lebanese food, and the couple other girls that were there were also Lebanese, and everyone like made brought dishes, and it was just so good. And it's always
Jasmine said there were two different homemade hummuses.
Yeah, it was kind of like
I missed out.
So my friend who was hosting had made hummus, and then someone else who came brought hummus, and so then there were two different hummuses on the table, and it was like everyone who walked in, like your initiation to the dinner was you had to taste test the hummuses and vote on what you thought was better. So now everyone is sweating because it's like
everyone is sweating
because everyone knows the host obviously, but then no one else that was there really knew each other, and so we're like I don't want to step on anyone's toes. Like,
wait, what did you choose?
I kind of forget. I think I may have chosen not our friends.
Was hers,
but it may have been
like,
split 50-50.
Or the,
so
like...
here's the thing: is one was like thick and had more garlic and more like seasonings in it, and one was very traditional, like creamy, smoother. Mm-hmm. And so I think I went with the more traditional one just because I really liked that texture.
Okay,
but I liked the flavor of our friends, so.
Gotcha.
So we decided that they were going to merge their recipes and
interesting.
And make
you can
a really
make, like,
one.
An in-between. They should do that, and then I'll go next time.
Okay.
We can go back, because like fully... I definitely want to... I was fully asleep. I've just been, like, exhaustion central the past month. I don't know how to put that. I've been so tired that I'm just, like, passing out at random times. I took a nap midday yesterday, and I could not get myself to rally for a dinner. I don't necessarily know what's going on with me, but you know what? Like, I'm exhausted, and so I'm just going to listen to that and sleep when I need to sleep. So I missed the hummus because I was, in fact, sleeping.
I'm going to nominate that as your low of the week, even though it was sleep, and we don't do sleep.
I was going to avoid it and not say that, but I think, my low of the week was because I was so tired, I missed out on that dinner. But, you know, no FOMO around here. We stand by our decisions, but it would have been nice to be there. I needed sleep.
There was someone that was there also goes to our gym, but I've never met him before. And so we were talking about the gym, and I was like, I said something along the lines of, I need to start going in the afternoon because I get FOMO when you guys all go. And he was like, you get FOMO from not going to the gym. And I was like, yeah, well, everyone like is together, and they say that they saw each other, and they'll do like random classes together. And I'm like, I get FOMO. And I'm like, I'm standing by that. I get FOMO when I go to the gym in the morning and all my friends go in the afternoon, and then I miss it. So like the number of times I've just gone and walked, or like literally walked in
just
and like taken
there.
A lap, just because everyone goes. And it's like, we all know I'm not for social out with the gym.
I think that you might exaggerate it though. I'd be like, oh, I saw this person there, but it's not like we're hanging out, like I just saw them because it's like a popular time.
Yeah, I know.
You're really not missing out on people,
but otherwise I don't like see, like,
you might not even say hi, really. You just, you know, head nod.
A little head nod. The other day, one of our friends, well, I was like literally on, I'd been there for far too long. Like, my legs were about to fall off, but mentally I wasn't done being at the gym.
No,
so I just
weren't.
Started doing push-ups. And our friend walks over and, like, says hi and introduces his friend who they're, like, working out together. And then last night I was like, oh, my God, I was in an absolute mood when you saw me. He was like, yeah, we could tell.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, sorry. Because I think I was just, like, not looking around. I was, like, out of it a little.
In your own space,
it was wild.
Your push-ups, that's how it should be in the gym, like sometimes. Sometimes it's meant for so many different things. My high of the week, I didn't go to that dinner, but we did go out to the North End in Boston, which is like our little Italy, and we went with a group of girls, had a great dinner, had a great time. We got pistachio martinis, and that's the reason that we went to the North End, because our friend had one like a week before, and we were like, wait, I've never even heard of that. I've had an espresso martini. I've never had a pistachio martini. And I don't know about you guys, but I think, like, that fake pistachio flavor is so good.
I think it's really good.
Like, when you get, like, the pistachio cookies and stuff. And I'm like, I know there's not a trace of nuts in here. It's just some sort of, like, pistachio extract that they've made. I don't know. Wanted to try the pistachio martini. They were really, really good. And, you know, it's going to be a new drink of choice of mine. And so that was an exciting thing.
I don't think it'll be a consistent thing. Like, it was very, very
sweet. No, I don't
think
it'll be consistent, but it was kind of like a dessert, like, special experience. It wouldn't be something that you're, like, having all the time. But it was special.
Okay, my love of the week is that I feel gross. I feel like a spaghetti noodle and the Pillsbury Doughboy had a baby. And I just don't know. Like, I haven't changed anything about, like, going to the gym, workouts, and I just feel gross. And it's so frustrating because the other... Oh, this is my low. So last night, I was going to wear this bodysuit, and it's, like, tan and long sleeve. Mm-hmm. But I wore it to dinner the other night, and I, like, didn't realize, but I, like, splashed oil on it. So there's, like, one little oil dot. So I, like, can't wear it because it needs to be washed. But I have the same one in a short sleeve, and I was like, okay, I want the color. I was wearing white pants, and I thought the colors matched. And so then I was wearing short sleeves, which is fine, but I felt like the Pillsbury Doughboy, and, like, you know when your arms are out and you just feel like...
Sometimes, yeah.
That, so I felt like that. Anyway, that's my love of the week, and who knows how I'm going to fix it.
It happens.
It's just one of those weeks.
It's just one of those weeks. It just comes in waves. Goal for the week.
Oh, my goal was I've been so, like, lazy in my workouts that I haven't been putting energy in. For me, lifting is very passive. Like, I can do it without thinking, without, like, putting extra energy into it. But when I'm doing, like, cardio or running, I need to be locked in. And, like, we all know I have my bouts of tripping on the treadmill. So I haven't been, like, doing cardio or things outside of lifting just because I haven't had the mental energy to do so, but I want to feel less gross, and I think more like high energy movement will help me achieve that. So this week I want to do more like cardio and go for more runs. Also, it's been so, every time I want to go for a run, it's raining outside and like my shoes are white, so
yeah. I think mine is to do I gotta get up in the morning and, like, do something a little bit better or more productive or just, like, anything. I feel like I've been
so... You do, so, like, take
I've been take so your lazy in the mornings. But even if I took my morning and I, like, read a book or something, that would feel productive to me and that would feel like something. Like, I'm just in a bad habit of just, like, waking up and, like, going on my phone, going on my computer, sitting on the couch. And it's just not,
she's,
like,
been watching TV.
It's not a good way to start my day. And it feels so unlike me, but it's going on with whatever exhaustion thing I'm going through because I wake up and I'm just still exhausted. And so I'm having a hard time, like, sticking to, like, my typical morning routine or doing things in the morning. Because, like I said, I'll wake up early, but then I usually take my time in the morning. I don't usually jump out of bed and, like, go right to the gym. Like, usually, you know, I make a drink, I make a snack, I read a book or something. But recently I've just been, like, sitting on the couch, and I don't like it. I feel like it's taking me a really, really long time to, like, snap into myself in a day. And so this week I want to try to actively wake up and do something different.
I do think it's really interesting how people can have different, like, morning routines that make them feel good, like, very different. Because for me, if I were to wake up and, like, stay in my room in the house, like, reading a book, to me, that would make me feel sluggish and lazy. I need to flip them. Like, I need to get up and get out, or I'm going to feel sluggish and lazy.
Yeah.
But someone else could, that is their energizing factor. And then once they have, like, do their things inside, around the house type situation, then they're energized to go do the out. Like, I'm flipped. And I think it's so interesting how people have different things that serve them better, and, like, different orders can fit better to you.
I feel like my order changes all the time. I'm not good at having, like, one specific thing.
I like,
you're a bit better at, like, you'll get, have, like, a very consistent sort of morning routine and stuff, and I'm a little bit more like, I feel like I have different morning routines that I like, or just different routines of my life that I like, and I kind of can flip it around day to day or week to week. But then when I get in a rut where I'm doing the same lazy type feeling thing, then I feel gross. But I can have a lazy morning or two if it's blended in with others.
I just don't like, even if I stay, like, on a weekend, that's what I kind of don't like about weekends, is that I wake up and I'm like, I sleep a little bit extra, and then I'm in the apartment, and then I start doing the things that I have space for because I don't, like, need to get out of the house yet, and then it's like noon and I haven't left, and I'm like, I love leaving in the morning. Like, I love getting up and going. Yeah. Like, that's my morning routine, is like, wake up, get out. And I love it.
And I love that too.
And I love that.
Always, every day.
So on a weekend, I still wake up early
is my thing. Like, I'll wake up early. Like, I wake up at the same time. I just feel like I shift the order of how I do things sometimes.
That's fun. Before we get into the episode of Confidence, quick plug, adding Catherine Kinnean, at Caroline Kinnean, at Girl Schools Pod for all the extra content. And, like, I feel like it's just a supplement or a visual glimpse into. That's how I view all the social medias. Also, the podcast has, like, the podcast counts. Like, we take some of our favorite clips or the most, like, hard-hitting, impactful clips and put them on there. So if you want a little bit of extra content, like, go over there, go hang out.
Instagram or TikTok. And they're all linked in the show notes as well. You guys can always find our stuff there.
You know the drill. Okay, so confidence. this was something we talked about yesterday, a couple days ago. It was just, it's something that's been on my mind. Not the idea of like having confidence or not, but more of what does confidence mean? What is it made up of? And I came to the conclusion that confidence is not its own thing. Confidence is not its own thing. Confidence is a result of trusting yourself and being secure in yourself and being proud of yourself. It manifests in the form of confidence.
Yeah, I don't think it's as simple or cookie cutter as we make it. I think people will be like, oh, she's so confident, or I'm not confident, or like Catherine was saying the other day that someone at work was like, you're so confident.
Oh my god, because I like made a, we were talking about something, and so I like made a little presentation about it, and someone's like, I wanted to do a project, and then they said no to the project, and they're like, but I love your confidence. And I was like, that's so, like, that's ringing rude. In my head now, that's rude, because I like,
no, but I love your confidence.
Literally said no, but I love your confidence.
Yeah, and I was like, overthink that one for sure. Ooh,
and so I'm like, I'm gonna shut up for the next like week and a half.
Right, right. But in that way, I'm like, huh, are they using confidence as like a positive or a negative? Like,
because in my mind, it was a positive.
Like, it's a positive, but that almost makes it sound like they're saying it's like delusional confidence.
No, literally. And I was like, I'm sorry. It was like a situation where they asked me to do a project, and I was like, I can do this a million times like bigger and better. Like, I have so many great ideas for this, and I would love to make this like a bigger thing. And they're like, no, but I really really respect your confidence. And I was like, that's so rude.
But I think we use confidence as this blanket statement term, yes or no, has it, don't have it, or has it, doesn't have it. I think grammatically that is more correct. Anyways, but I don't think that's the case, because I think I've always had some intrinsic level of confidence. Like, just growing up and as a kid, I think it's always been a little bit a part of my personality. But then there are also so many situations where I can feel so unconfident and so inferior. I don't think it is like a yes or a no. I think there's probably a lot of different types of confidence, or a lot of different things that go into confidence, and maybe some are really, really strong for you and some are not. And so mm-hmm. you feel like you have this like confidence roller coaster where you're yeah. going up and down, and you're like, am I confident or am I not? Because sometimes I think I so am, and then I'm in a situation and I don't feel confident at all. I actually feel super insecure about this. And so I think we want to get into what we think makes up confidence and mm-hmm. all of those different things. Like, in Catherine was saying, it's not just confidence or doesn't have confidence. It's has or doesn't have all of these different qualities that kind of come together to manifest this feeling or vibe of confidence.
Right. And I think the most powerful, like, moving thing that you can carry within yourself is confidence. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of any like external or tangible thing. Mm-hmm. It comes from that trusting yourself. It comes from being secure in who you are, in what you want to do, where you stand in whatever environment you're in. And honestly, just like respecting yourself. Like, yeah. confidence comes down to knowing and loving who you are.
Yeah. I like that, the idea of respect, because it's almost like you're giving yourself the same amount of respect as you give other people. Like, if you look at other people and you think they worked so hard for their accomplishments, or they're so deserving of what they have, we're all human. Like, no one person is better than you are. They have just had a specific opportunity, or worked for longer at something, or commit themselves earlier to something. No one is inherently better than you or better than you at something. So there's no reason that you can't also do those things. So give yourself the same respect to believe that you can do it.
Confidence in the sense of comparing yourself with someone who maybe is in a position you want to be in, or is the type of person you want to be. Mm-hmm. Comparing and denoting your own confidence just because someone else has it more, is further down the line, is yeah. doing something better than you, is so not where you want to be, because confidence is what's going to get you to that point. Because yes, you may not be on the same path. Maybe they started 10 years or they started their business 10 years earlier. Obviously, it's going to be further down the line, more developed. Yeah. Maybe they're 10 years older than you, and they've been mm-hmm. in doing a hobby or like practicing yeah. something, or have they've been gaining experience for longer than you. Of course they're going to be further down the line. Mm-hmm. You have to trust yourself and be so secure and respect yourself enough to know that in 10 years you will have gained that experience. You will have been 10 years further down the path. Mm-hmm. You will be in that position, if not in a greater position, if you just have the confidence, security, trust, respect, love for yourself. Like, you will get there.
We were talking about what we think makes up confidence. Since we kind of came to the conclusion that we don't think it's just one thing, we are trying to determine what we think actually makes it up. What are the qualities? What is the recipe for confidence? And there could be a lot more that you guys feel, right? Obviously, this isn't a science, but this is kind of what we think confidence can be broken down to based on seeing it, like, in ourselves and where we think that we're strong with it and where we think that we are less strong with it. But
and with all these points, I think we kind of came to this list because when I am trusting myself, when I feel secure in myself, when I'm proud of myself, when I am compassionate towards myself, when I'm respecting myself, that is when I feel confident. Mm-hmm. It's a result of those things, and it's the kind of tangible manifestation or the energy that comes because you are trusting and secure and proud and compassionate and respectful of yourself.
Yeah. So the first thing, trusting yourself. Trusting yourself is so important because I think it's at that core of having a good relationship with yourself, which having a good relationship with yourself in all of these ways that we're listing out is confidence. Maybe that is confidence. Maybe confidence is having a good relationship with yourself. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's one way to take it. But building trust with yourself, I see that as simple as doing what you say you're going to do. Sometimes we can have a big gap between the things we tell ourselves we want to do, the things that we say we're going to do, and then the actions that we actually take. And the more that you say you want to do something, say you're going to do something, and then your actions are different than those, you break trust with yourself. So you're going to continue down that cycle of always saying, like, oh, I want to be someone that wakes up earlier. Oh, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. I'm going to go grocery shopping. Like, I'm going to get my homework done and stop procrastinating. Mm-hmm. The more that we say all of those things and then the actions don't line up for it, we break the trust with ourselves, so then we can never believe that we're going to do them, and then we never do them. We get in a habit of then continuing to say things and not doing mm-hmm. them. You need to close that gap with yourself. And either doing that by building some sort of discipline where you're like, no, I'm actually going to get myself up and I'm going to do this. I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to go to the gym when I said I was going to go to the gym tomorrow. Or you can do that by starting with building smaller expectations for yourself, ones that you know you can actually follow through with, so that you can show yourself that on a more minor scale, you can trust yourself to follow through with the things that you say you're going to do. And then, you know, slowly you can start making bigger promises to yourself mm-hmm. or building bigger, more important habits. But that is how I see trusting yourself, is you have to build some level of I do the things that I tell myself I'm going to do. And then not only do you have that trust in yourself to always do, you know, the small day-to-day habits and also the bigger things, but you're also going to have this much more confident relationship with yourself. And right. you're going to then believe the things that you tell other people. You're going to believe in your bigger life mm-hmm. goals and your long-term goals. Yeah. That really builds confidence.
Because it could start with like, oh, I'm going to clean my room. And then maybe you have like a really messy room. Maybe that's the one thing mm-hmm. that you can't do. But you say, oh, if you bite off more than you can chew, I feel like that's a huge thing that you can apply to any habit that you want to instill in yourself or any like anything that you want to change in your life. When you say, oh, I'm going to clean my room, and then you don't do it, mm-hmm. trust broken. You do it the next day, don't do it, trust is broken. But the flip side of that is when you do clean your room, you've just, even if you don't realize it, you've built a little bit of trust. So then the next day when you go to, you're like, subconsciously you're like, oh, I can clean my room. Like, I cleaned my room yesterday. You clean your room again, more trust. Mm-hmm. And then that goes on until you have this like overwhelming trust in yourself that when you say you're going to do something, you do it. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to think about it. You yeah. do it because you are so confident that what you say you can accomplish and you will accomplish. And that starts on small scales. But then, like Caroline said, it goes into like promises to other people. Promises like bigger things that you say to yourself when you do trust yourself and you say something confidently. And that confidence isn't something acting on you. That's something that you've created within yourself. And I think that's my biggest point with how confidence is not its own thing mm-hmm. because confidence doesn't like come to you. Confidence isn't something outside of you. Confidence is something that you've created within yourself. So the more you build that trust with yourself, the more you do the things you say you're going to do, the more confidence you're going to have as you say you're going to do more, as you actually get to doing more, and as you just move about your life.
Mm-hmm. Imagine you have some sort of longer term goal for yourself. Imagine you've always dreamed, when I'm in my 20s, I'm gonna move to New York City and I'm gonna work this dream job that I have. But that is far out, and that takes you accomplishing a lot more steps to get there. If you don't have that baseline of trust with yourself, like when I say I'm gonna clean my room, I clean my room. When I say I'm gonna go to the gym, I go to the gym. You're not gonna have strong enough trust in yourself that you can do that thing in 5 years, because that's scary. Like, a big goal in a future, that can be really scary. And so you have to be able to have this baseline belief in yourself that, like, hey, I can always do the things that I say I'm gonna do. I am in control of my actions. I am all of these things. So when you have that, you have this sense of confidence and security and trust that you just take it day by day and you do the things you say you're gonna do. And so you're gonna get there and you're gonna meet that future goal. Versus if you didn't have that, you would just see this big scary thing and you may not be able to move forward at all.
And I think the security piece of that is less actionable and more just conceptual on knowing and understanding yourself. Mm-hmm. And so being secure in yourself breeds the same kind of confidence, because you do. That's like the next level. When you're secure in yourself, you trust yourself, you have confidence. And so being secure in yourself comes from knowing who you are, where you're positioned in your environment, like we said, knowing what you want to do, where you want to go, knowing your boundaries. All of those things form this sense of security and deeper, more solid identity within yourself. And when that can't be shaken, that's when confidence comes. That's when you walk into a room and you are confident, because it doesn't matter who's there. You know who you are and you know how you can present yourself to them, how you can stand within that room. So being secure is that next level to creating confidence within yourself. And then there's being proud of yourself.
Wait, what does it look like to be secure? I kind of, like, if for my own mind, want a better understanding of the difference between having trust in yourself and being secure in yourself. Where do you see that difference?
I think having trust in yourself is more, I trust that I can do this.
Okay.
It's more actionable.
Okay.
It's when you're doing something. Being secure in yourself is like 24/7 conceptual knowing who you are.
Okay.
It's not what you do, it's who you are.
Knowing, like you said, boundaries. So, like, knowing that you are deserving and what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And trusting yourself to also accept no less than that. Because I think sometimes we might have a sense of security in ourselves. Like, I know I'm great. I know what I deserve. I have these boundaries. But then sometimes we can't always trust ourselves to follow through with that. Like, if someone does treat you shitty and you kind of have to make that decision, then the trust comes into play as well. You have to trust yourself to follow through with your boundaries and what you think you deserve.
And being secure in yourself follows the same kind of incremental build as learning to trust yourself does, though it is less of a tangible thing. It's more of, you know, it could come by when you complete a task that you say you're going to do. Maybe it's, I'm going to go to the gym consistently. When you do that, you feel you've built that part of who you are, and you know that nothing can shake that. And so you're going to be so, that's another pillar of foundation that, like, strengthens who you are. That's security in yourself. And that's what's going to bring confidence to who you are.
So something you could do right now, because we all have strengths, we all have things that we are great at, so consistent with, find a sense of security in those things in yourself, or remind yourself what those things are. It's so much easier to look at the things that you're lacking or the things that you're not doing, but we all have so many things that we can feel secure and feel confident about. So before even trying to expand and build that security in other ways, think about what you can just claim it for right now.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio, and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change. And their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
And then there's being proud of yourself, which is the next kind of step or part of what makes up confidence. Being proud of yourself is looking into or looking at the ways that you've built that trust with yourself, the actions that you've taken, and the parts that make up the security of yourself. So it's looking at what you've done and who you are and acknowledging that you like that. Acknowledging that that's something you're proud of. I feel like there's no other explanation than just when you're proud of yourself, that's gonna show. It's just gonna come out. You are gonna carry yourself at a much higher level of confidence, because what's not to be confident about when you are proud of yourself?
Yeah. When you think of habits and what drives human actions in general, we're always looking for some sort of reward on the other end. Like a cue, we do something, we react, we have the habit, and we're looking for a reward. Confidence can be built when you can give that reward to yourself. You can find a way to be proud of yourself and celebrate yourself, because that is then going to drive you continuing those behaviors, continuing those habits, and doing that because you don't always need external validation or external rewards, or you don't always need those things in terms of other people's validation or objects or money or anything like that. You can find that reward in being proud of yourself and in celebrating yourself. And so that can create confidence, because I feel like this is all cycling back. If you can find ways to be proud of yourself, then you're going to continue to do the habits. And when you continue to do the habits, then you build trust in yourself. And then you have security in yourself. Like, it all kind of compounds and becomes more of it. But I think being able to be proud of yourself and celebrate yourself can be so hard, because we're trained to always look for these external things. But at the end of the day, we're looking for some sort of reward, not necessarily external. And so trying to build more of that reward system inside of yourself is kind of a cool way to look at it.
And then there's being compassionate about yourself, which I think is a really important point that Caroline brought up when we were talking about this, is confidence is not being cocky or being a know-it-all or being the best person in the room. And we'll get into the difference between confidence and cockiness in a second, but it's not about doing everything right. It's about knowing that you're not going to do everything right. Like, confidence is about knowing that you are not going to be perfect 100% of the time, but trusting and being secure in yourself and being proud of yourself enough that anytime you mess up or something doesn't go your way, it's not going to shake you. And being confident is carrying yourself through life with the idea that those things aren't going to shake you, and that you can be compassionate towards yourself and keep going and keep working towards what you want to do, keep being who you are without letting that affect you.
Self-compassion is the final puzzle piece to confidence, I think, because confidence doesn't just mean being confident when you do things right, being confident when everything goes your way, being confident when you've done something to celebrate. Confidence is also having that self-compassion and being okay when you do mess up, when you don't meet the expectations that you had for yourself, when you have let yourself or other people down. Having self-compassion and still being able to feel secure in yourself and know that you can move forward, that I think is the last step to confidence. Being able to still maintain that confidence even when you haven't fulfilled everything, like on those lower points, instead of beating yourself up, having the compassion to keep moving forward. It's easy to feel confident when we're proud of what we've done, when we feel like things are to be celebrated, when everything seems to be going right and we're happy in that sense. It's a lot harder to be confident when things aren't going well and you have to tell yourself that you're still good.
Mm-hmm. So the difference between confidence and cockiness, I think it comes down to, there are two parts of it. From you, the way you exude confidence, and the way others interpret your confidence. When your confidence doesn't come from trusting yourself or being secure in yourself or being proud of yourself or compassionate of yourself or respecting yourself. Like, I'm going to keep rambling off that list because those are the parts of confidence. But when your confidence isn't coming from that, when your confidence is acting on you, when confidence is outside of you, when you're thinking about confidence as its own thing, I think that's where cockiness comes into play. Because without those pillars of confidence, it's less about you and more about how you're actively presenting yourself. It's not a subconscious just energy that you give off. It's more of a, something that you are forcing into your life.
I think it becomes cockiness when confidence is fueled only by validation from others. Because then you're always going to be trying to brag or be so external about things that you're doing in a kind of overboard way to try to be getting that validation, because that is how you're fueling your confidence. Rather than true confidence is all fueled internally. So while you absolutely can and should be celebrating your successes, a lot more of it is going to be in that quiet, silent, internal mode, because when you're celebrating things, you're more so sharing them with other people. You're not looking for validation from other people in the way that you're presenting it.
Right. I think the cockiness aspect of confidence, or the cockiness version of confidence, relies too heavily on both other people's validation and other people's interpretation of you. Whereas when confidence comes from yourself rather than outside of yourself, you are telling other people how to view you, how to view your confidence. You are letting them know rather than asking them to define you. And I think that's the important part about focusing on these different pillars of confidence, because when confidence comes from inside you, when confidence is a result of you being so trusting and secure of who you are, it is so, so powerful, because it is just something that you possess, something that you walk around with, something that is almost undetectable, but everyone's gonna know. And you don't have to tell anyone that you're confident when you are so foundationally solid in yourself. It's just gonna happen. Whereas when confidence is more of a cocky version, it's not coming from like deep foundationally inside you, it's surface level, you're creating it. And it's coming out as cockiness because it may be you trying to prove yourself to a group of people or a job or an activity that you're doing. And it's asking for other people's validation. Whereas the other side of confidence, the one that we're really talking about and really like appreciative of here, is has nothing to do with other people. It has everything to do with like you and yourself and how you exist in the world. And it is such a cool thing.
Confidence versus cockiness is so interesting because it's also up to interpretation of the people who are interpreting it. I don't think that any person would ever say, I am cocky, instead of I am confident. I think that it is only in the way that other people perceive it. And so I see it going two ways. I think
that unless you may, you're never going to say it, but I know probably everyone has experienced times when they are trying to be confident or like feel uncomfortable in the like reaction of being uncomfortable in a situation or setting or a lifestyle and environment. Yeah, yeah. Manifest as like being cocky or being that like really uncomfortable and like unbearing side of confidence. So I know that everyone's probably experienced that at some point where it just like comes out wrong, like you feel really uncomfortable. And the way you feel in that form of confidence is like you and confidence are separate. You're like separate entities. But when you feel this like foundational confidence, you are yourself and like confidence is within you. Like you are, you're in charge of the confidence, whereas otherwise you're like grasping for it. And so you can continue your point, but I just wanted to say that like not everyone is just like confident.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's something that takes a lot of work and a lot of time to like become that foundational style of confident. And so a lot of people, everyone has experienced like kind of
feeling like they're coming off more confidence. As cocky.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
But when it comes to people interpreting you or interpreting another person as either confident or cocky, I think that it's in two ways. I think it's either in the way that we're speaking about where somebody is fueling their confidence from external validation, and so they're coming off like very cocky, very braggy, very trying to grasp onto things. Sometimes though, somebody might just exude a level of confidence, an energy of confidence, and somebody else's intimidation of that might analyze it as cocky. You know, they might put that in the bucket of like, oh, that person is acting so cocky, when really maybe they're not. Maybe there's no bragging or no cockiness or anything involved. Maybe they just have a level of confidence that's intimidating, you know? It could be like that as well. And so I think it's, you know, it's hard just to bucket something as confidence versus cockiness, because I think we all know some people who are just like, can be unbearingly cocky, and we're like, oh my God, like what is that? Where is that coming from? Sometimes though, you can be intimidated by somebody's just level of natural confidence. Like that's very valid. That happens. You know, being careful not to just bucket somebody as cocky if they are a good person and they just have an extreme level of confidence. Like that's something to admire instead. But I think it's easy when we feel kind of intimidated by something. I know I can do that myself as well, to just put it in like a more negative box and just like push it there instead.
That's so, the easy way out.
It's the easy way instead of being inspired by it or respecting it, because it's harder, because then it's almost admitting to yourself like, oh, I am intimidated by this person in a way.
But once you do get that, then that's when you can like build on that trust and that respect of yourself, is when you admit that and are able to like move forward and move past that and grow from it. We love self-awareness around here. We truly do.
So everything that we've talked about so far has been this recipe of confidence within yourself. What are all the qualities to build or recognize within yourself that we think makes up confidence, instead of confidence just being this one thing? I do think that there is another huge piece of it, kind of tied to your sense of security with yourself, but your ability to be unbothered by other people. I mentioned this in a couple weeks ago when we were talking about party culture, about how I can feel so confident and so secure in myself internally, in my own head, in my own life, but sometimes I can be bothered by other people and other people's opinions of me, or just like how I feel in a group if I'm made to feel inferior or made to feel like on the outside or something like that. Not in like a super debilitating way, but like I know it happens to me, and I think that it happens to everyone in a sense. So I think that next step and level of confidence is building an ability to be unbothered by other people. Unbothered by other people's opinions of you, unbothered by how other people make you feel, because you just have such a strong sense of self and such a strong sense of confidence within yourself that if people treat you in a way that you don't think you should be treated, instead of taking it personally like, oh, they treated me badly, they're making me feel on the outside, you're gonna feel bad about it, you look at it as like, oh, that's no way for someone to treat me, and then you just disassociate, like you're just unbothered and you're like, oh, I don't deserve that way of being treated at all. And then you just leave it alone, or you're unbothered, or you even continue to associate with those people because you're just so good at compartmentalizing that and just taking what you want from the situation and taking the good aspects of the situation, but being unbothered by the bad. I think that that is a much harder next level of confidence. Mm-hmm. And while you build confidence within yourself and it's made up of these different qualities within yourself, I think that it can really be tested in relation to other people.
Yeah. I mean, I always talk about that, I guess, in a different sense, but healing or growth, like you listen to these podcasts and you go to therapy and you like journal and you work on yourself. That's all you and you. That's all a solo mission. Mm-hmm. And you can feel so secure and so elevated through that process when it's just you and you. The test though is, can you put yourself in a social setting or back in to like the real world environment, and will those things and all the things that you've worked on hold true? Because you can be like in your room on your own and have all of those like factors of growth and ways that you've grown be true, but it's such a test to stay true to those while you're around other people.
Yeah.
Whether it be other people that are in the same way as you, like have the same growth or are in the same positions as you, or people who aren't and who may not understand your position, and it's really hard to kind of understand each other in that sense. Confidence comes into play here, because when you are confident in any growth that you've made, any lifestyle changes that you've made, you're not going to be shaken. Like I talked about in the security moment. And I think this ability to be unbothered has to do with being secure in yourself. When you are secure in yourself and your life choices and who you are and what you're doing, when you do put yourself in a social situation or an environment that is testing you, that's not going to be shaken. And it's not going to affect you further than that moment.
It's hard not to place value in how other people treat you or how other people make you feel, or whether or not other people want to spend time with you or want to have a relationship with you. Something that can help me is if somebody is seeming like they're acting some sort of way or treating me some sort of way, trying to put myself in those shoes and think about all of the other reasons that they could be acting that way that don't have anything to do with who you are and how they feel about you. They could be so distracted by so many other things. They could have all these other values and all these other time commitments. They could have just other people that are taking up more space in their life and they don't have the capacity. Or how many times do you just feel like, you know, you maybe don't click with somebody that much and it really has nothing to do with their character or how good of a person or cool of a person you think they are. Sometimes you just feel like you don't click with that person. So if I can put myself in another person's shoes and justify that behavior in some sort of other way, that helps me. When trying to be unbothered by other people and bring your confidence to that level of being unbothered by other people, that's something that can help me when I start to feel bothered by other people, is can I put myself in their shoes and justify that behavior? Okay, there's probably a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with me. Can I put myself in those shoes and it's unjustifiable behavior? Well, then that's that person's problem. That doesn't also have anything mm-hmm. to do with me.
And that, again, comes down to being secure in yourself and trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next level is, like, having respect of how you want to react to a situation. All of which are you moving about your life with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, quickly, as you may have gathered throughout this episode or have been taking notes, how you can gain confidence, I want to think through these in both immediate and long term. Because everyone has been in a situation, like Caroline has talked about, like I've talked about in this episode, where you may be very confident. You may be a really confident person, either naturally or you've built it, but you are in a situation or a setting or an environment, and all of a sudden, all of that goes away. And you feel like debilitatingly mm-hmm. unconfident. And so in that moment, there are a few things that you can do to try and get back to neutral or try and get your confidence back. These are like immediate or situational changes that you can make. So some immediate changes, some may apply to different scenarios, some may not, but like change your clothes. I think that's a huge thing. If you are feeling uncomfortable, like I'm wearing standing jeans right now and I'm seated, but like I am wearing a shirt underneath that for me, if I was sitting right now with these pants and like a tight shirt, I would be uncomfortable sitting here like on camera for an hour. So yeah. I put a sweatshirt on and I haven't thought about it since.
Mm-hmm.
That's like an immediate, because I was walking around, I put these clothes on. I was like, yes, this outfit looks so good. I love it. Walking around, had a ball, took some pictures. I like them. And then I came and I'm like sitting down now.
Yeah.
And now they like fit differently and they're like digging into my belly button. And I'm like, super physically uncomfortable, and this is a physical example. And so an immediate change, I wasn't about to go like fully change and like redo my outfit. Like we have a show to record. So I just put on a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
That's an immediate change. And I like feel a lot better and way more comfortable. And my confidence is back. Similar changes that you can make are like environmental changes. Like if you are in the moment, like with people or in an environment that you're not having fun with, maybe it's taking away your confidence, giving you a little bit of a social anxiety situation, take yourself out of it or go talk to someone else in that group that maybe will help reinstate your confidence or bring you back to neutral and make you feel a little bit better. There are situational changes or little tweaks. Maybe you can't fully leave a situation, but you can go talk to someone else, go like to the bathroom and take a breather, or like go outside and take a walk around the block and like come back and do your thing. Little things that can help kind of mitigate that or bring back your confidence. And if none of like no physical examples work, and of course there are a million more, those are just like easy ones, I guess, to kind of conceptualize or verbalize right now. And if none of those work, go in your head and try and be present. Like maybe it's a little like count to 10, like think about ways that you're confident, remind yourself of accomplishments that you've done, or think through past situations or examples that have been similar that you've been in that you did feel confident, that you were confident, and try and like force yourself to, I know now we're talking about this is like the kind of outside of yourself forcing confidence, but try and create that for yourself or bring yourself back to those foundations, think through them and
bring yourself back to yourself. Just kind of zone into your head for a second and be like, chill.
Zone into yourself, be present, like step back to that sense of security, and maybe you can go through these pillars. Like tell yourself why you trust yourself in a social situation, if this is a social situation. Tell yourself who you are and what your position is within that group. Security. Tell yourself reasons why you're proud of yourself. What have you accomplished recently? What have you accomplished to get yourself to that position that's maybe helped you be where you are in a positive way? How do you respect yourself in that moment? And then how can you be compassionate to yourself in that moment? Because 1 second of not being confident doesn't mean you don't have confidence. It's just you moving.
Cannot say that enough. Because nobody is 100% confident in the sense that we've kind of outlined this recipe of confidence and what makes up confidence. And I don't think everybody is 100% in all of those things. At the same time, things fluctuate situationally and minute to minute and second by second. So it's hard to say confident, not confident. Yes, no. Because, you know, I feel 110% confident sometimes, and then I feel absolutely drained of confidence in a split second by some things, you know?
And so reminding yourself of that, having compassion, can help you get through or get you back to neutral if you are having an immediate or like situational challenge with confidence. The other part is long-term confidence. This is how you're gonna like build that foundational confidence or create that if you feel like you don't have any confidence right now. This is how you're gonna create that. And it is through long-term, big, like, lifestyle changes, mindset changes, environmental changes, whether that be, like, move across the country or switch up your room to feel more in line with you and aligned with you and catered to what you want to do and where you want to go. It is learning about yourself. It is gaining experience. It is just furthering your own, like, growth, and that is going to foster that trust and security and respect of yourself. That's going to just naturally build the trust. So when you're thinking about building long-term confidence, that's when you're going to think about these foundations and pillars, and don't think about confidence. Don't think about the actual sense of confidence. Don't work towards, I want to be confident. Work towards all these little things, and you are going to be so strong in your confidence. It's going to be crazy. Whereas those immediate changes are when those immediate situations are when you can think about confidence as its own thing and be like, confidence, confidence, confidence.
Yeah.
But long term, confidence is not a real thing. What is real is trust and compassion and respect and
belief in yourself
and security in yourself.
I think another long term way of building confidence, and probably one of the most impactful, is building a life and having hobbies and pursuits that exist outside of other people. Because how else do you build a relationship with yourself, trust with yourself, respect for yourself, if the life that you live is always in relation to other people. I think you have to have the things that you do just by yourself, the things that you learn about, the hobbies that you develop, the things that you care about doing. I mean, that is what the gym can be for you. It can be that time where, like, that is the thing that you do for the time for yourself every day. It could be traveling. You're going to go gain some travel experience by yourself. And, like, that can be such a profound experience to, like, do that by yourself and gain those experiences that, like, it feels like you have that with yourself and nobody else. It could be, you know, you pick up a hobby, you learn an instrument, you buy a skateboard, like something like that. Like anything that you can do to develop a life that is yourself. It could be in what you study, you know, you're on your own learning and school and career path that nobody else is on, and people can be alongside of it. But at the end of the day, it's your learning, it's your career. So finding your life on its own path that can integrate other people but does not exist solely because of or for the purpose of other people. I think that is the biggest builder of confidence, because that's the biggest builder of your life and your independence and your trust and all of these things that create that sense of confidence and the feeling of confidence. So building that life for yourself outside of other people.
So the recipe for confidence is trusting yourself, being secure in yourself, being proud of yourself, respecting yourself, and being compassionate towards yourself. Those, when put together, are going to create undeniable, powerful confidence that you are just gonna possess. It's gonna be wild, I promise.
It's gonna be wild.
It's gonna be wild.
Well, I hope that this episode gave you a new perspective on confidence. Whether you're somebody who's always told yourself that you're not confident, or whether you are somebody who feels like your confidence fluctuates so much, or whether you are somebody who has always felt really confident and maybe wants to grow it or wants to understand it better. Like, we're all in different spots, but I think we're all kind of somewhere in between. I hope this helped you have some inspiration for steps that you can take to build your confidence. I hope it instilled some confidence in you in a way.
Yeah.
I feel like even just talking about this gives you that self-awareness, gives you the motivation and inspiration to, you know, build that relationship with yourself and find more confidence. So if you did enjoy this episode, let us know what you took from it. Let us know how you liked it. Let us know anything over on Girls With Goals Pod on Instagram or TikTok, on our personal Instagrams and TikToks, Caroline Kanine and Catherine Kanine. You can follow the show wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple, watch it on YouTube, leave a rating. There's so many things that you can do. Just get in touch with us in one way or another, because we love hanging out with you guys and knowing you guys. And we will see you next Monday.
Bye.
Time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.